Good morning, St. Gabriel listeners. Welcome to the Friday morning show with Katie and Father Adam. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, here with my fabulous co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you, Father Adam?
Marvelous.
Can I tell everyone what one of my favorite visuals is for Friday mornings? It's pulling up to the station, seeing this enormous black Chevy Silverado, and climbing out of it in cassock and Birkenstocks is Father Adam Streitenberger. It's a gift from God. I can't believe he loves me so much to let me see that in the morning. It's great. Well, this is our first show. Here we are.
Yeah.
I feel like the show has been highly anticipated.
I think so.
I mean, by my mom.
Is that my...
And your mom, too?
Yeah, and my sisters, yeah.
So all the women in our lives are listening, so shout out to them. We definitely have an audience this morning in our moms and our sisters, so that's fantastic. It is... What day is it? Friday.
Friday.
That's why it's the Friday morning show, September 27th, Feast of St. Vincent de Paul, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And we are so happy to be here with you. We are so happy that you have joined us. We have been looking forward to this. What an opportunity for evangelization, which is our theme today. We have a very special guest coming up later in the hour. We're not going to tell you who it is, but we promise you won't be disappointed.
Let's start with a prayer, shall we?
That's a great plan.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you this day as you have given it to us. We return it to you with hearts filled with thanksgiving. We ask, O Lord, that you bless this time together and bless this day. Strengthen us in the work ahead and bring us closer to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. How's your week been, Father Adam?
It's been busy. Busy. It's a busy week. One of the great things, one of the little joys of this week is, and I don't know if you have been following this or not, but on PBS, there has been a series on the history of country music.
I have not been following it.
Yes. Ken Burns put out another documentary. And it is glorious.
This is the thing about Ken Burns. You can, I think, and I haven't seen the documentary, but you cannot really care about country music or be a fan of country music, but suddenly Ken Burns is pulling you in, right?
Yeah.
And making you interested in it. Yeah.
Well, when you really listen to country music, you automatically become a fan of it. So, I mean, it was kind of easy.
I'm not going to agree with that statement necessarily.
Well, you know, you're not perfect.
So true. What's
going on in your life?
Well, I will say that this week started on such a high, and I don't think I could improve on that. On Sunday, so of course, I received Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament in the Eucharist, and that was awesome. And then I took my son, Jackson, who is autistic, who loves animals, obsessed with animals. He says to me, Mom, I have a St. Francis soul. He wants to so badly. And we went to this wildlife preserve in Ohio. It's called the Union Ridge Wildlife Sanctuary. It is legitimate, sanctioned by the state, licensed, everything. And it's this guy who... he takes in animals after people are done exploiting them, basically, and it's not open to the public. And it's and Jackson and I went to volunteer, and he has tigers, and he has pelicans, and he has chimps, and Capuchin monkeys, and lemurs, and it's a crazy place right in the middle of Ohio. And we're picking up sticks, and we're shoveling poop, and we were so happy cutting up animals, giving them to cutting up apples, giving them to the animals. Yeah, he kicked us out when we started cutting up the animals. So, and just really marveling at the majesty of God and grateful for the opportunity to be there. It was just so, and from there, so right, we're leaving there so happy and so grateful. So we encountered Jesus in the Eucharist. Then we encountered the presence of God in the animals and in this beautiful place. And then I went to the cathedral that evening for Father Adam Streitenberger's catechism series. From 6:45 to 7:45 most Sunday evenings, yes.
Yes, yeah. We are going to take a little break in November from it, but yeah, every Sunday.
It was fantastic. It's this breaking open of the catechism, which can be a pretty daunting document, right, if you don't know how to read it. So Father Adam's helping us break it open, and there I am encountering God in the catechism and in Father Adam. And it was such a cool reflection on how God makes himself present to us. The God of the Eucharist is the God of the monkey poop, is the God of the catechism and of the Catholic Church. And it was so awesome. And I've just been grateful all week, been thinking about that all week. And the week has only stayed awesome from there. So
that's a powerful weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you were also at the Cradling Christianity event too.
I was. Weren't you? Yeah, that was last week. That was with Father Peter Vasco, who's a Franciscan in the Holy Land. He runs the Franciscan Foundation in the Holy Land. It's this awesome event. Some local Columbus Catholics actually went on a pilgrimage many years ago to the Holy Land and learned about the shrinking numbers of Christians and learned that the Christians in the Holy Land need opportunities for employment, need education in order to want to stay there.
Was that at St. Charles?
It was at St. Charles.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at the Josephinum, the Mother Superior of the Sisters for Life was there.
Yeah,
the same night.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. And in the midst of it all, St. Gabriel Radio was having their spirit drive, killing it in the spirit
drive. The rigged priest
game. It was not rigged. Just because you didn't win doesn't mean it was rigged. I did hear Father Dave Sizemore blew away all of the competition.
Well, yeah, I think he's told everyone that. So,
I mean, it is pretty impressive if you can put aside jealousy, pettiness, whatever it is. Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
It was marble shuffleboard, so yeah. That's not impressive.
Oh, my gosh.
But
one of the things we're going to be doing on this show, as you'll see this morning, is pitting priests in competition against each other, because for number one, it makes for really good radio.
Yeah.
And number two, it's just kind of fun to not have to be part of the competition just to sit
It's
back.
Been going on since James and John in the gospel.
That's
so,
right.
You know.
That's right. So that's what's going on in our lives. That's what's going on in our diocese.
What else is going on today? What's our what are we talking about today?
Well, so here's the format for our show. Every week, we're going to have a recurring guest. Now, it won't be the same guest every week. It's on a rotation. There are about four or five special guests that we will call, or they'll come into the studio, and they're all priests, and they're going to play a game where we can pit them against each other, tally points. Give them opportunity for bragging rights or opportunity to feel really, really bad about
how
they did.
And we'll also get to know them as well.
We will get to know them. Well, we'll get to know a lot about them by how they respond to the game, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And then we will have a couple regular segments. Father Adam's going to do a catechism minute for us every week and just kind of...
Are you going to hold me to a minute on that?
No, it's just a catchy title for the segment. We'll do that today. We'll introduce a couple of some of the regular segments we hope to do to engage our listeners.
And then we'll have a second guest later in the show.
We will. And today we're not telling you who that is.
Yeah.
It's a very special, top secret guest. You won't regret sticking around to hear who it is. But one of the coolest things we are going to be doing at St. Gabriel Radio is traffic and weather.
Traffic and not only just traffic and weather, but traffic and weather brought to you by a priest.
There's no other station doing it.
Never has this been done before.
No, it's a first.
So to traffic, well, it looks like there's stoppage on 70 West, about the interchange, which is normal. There's a few, there looks like there's an incident on 71, delay of 2 minutes, increasing on I-71 southbound between Morse Road and 17th Avenue. So if you're there, we don't know why the flow is slowing. It might just be normal conditions.
Maybe at the break you could get in the chopper and take a look.
Yeah, the the Cupertino is what we're going to call the traffic.
There it is. Father Adam coming to us from the Cupertino.
And then
how's
the
it looking
weather,
out there?
Right now we are at 55 degrees. It looks like we're going to have a very beautiful sunny day today, high of 84.
I love September weather.
Yes.
I think it's the month with the most blue sky days. I made that up. You would know because you're the weather guy, but
yeah.
Is that true?
Well, you know, very often clouds go away in the fall. So, yeah.
Do you hear how intelligently we speak about weather here on the Friday Morning Show, which is what you're listening to, the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. It is our very first show. We are so happy you are here with us. We are going to tell you today's again, September 27th, and there's been some interesting things that have happened on this day in history.
This day in history. In 1540, the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, were founded by Ignatius of Loyola and confirmed by Pope Paul III in Rome.
That's pretty important.
Yeah.
Considering our current Pope is a Jesuit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And 400 years later, in Berlin, the Axis powers, Germany, Italy, and Japan, signed the Tripartite Pact of a military alliance. So...
on September 27th, 1940.
Yeah. And then in 1998 on this day is the birth of the Google search engine. Do you remember the first time you ever used Google?
I don't.
I do remember the first time I used Google. So up to that point, I don't know if I was using Yahoo or something like that. But I was with my cousin doing genealogy work, and she pulls out this odd-looking web page of Google, and it was like, it was awesome.
It was life-changing.
You could find all this stuff. It was life-changing.
I would like to know, when is the first time Google was used as a verb? Like, when they launched that search engine, did they know that it would become
a verb? Well, it was a verb before that, because you could Google people, couldn't you?
What?
Isn't that
what,
like,
does that even mean?
Isn't that like to
eye
someone down?
That doesn't even sound appropriate.
I don't know.
I don't know. Ogle.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, Google. Now it's a verb since 1998. Okay. One of the segments we're going to do here every Friday is called Our Facebook Friends. And what we want you to do is be in touch with us via Facebook. We're going to pose a question each week, and then we're going to give you an opportunity on our Facebook page to answer the question, to weigh in, to check in with us. So, for example, a couple of weeks ago when we were first introducing this show, we asked you to help us name the show. And you came up with some really fabulous answers. Now, we went with the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam for now, because we're trying to get a feel. And also, we want you to remember when the show is. When's the show, Father Adam?
Fridays.
Friday mornings, right?
Yeah,
the Friday Morning Show. But so here are some of the suggestions you gave. A couple of you wanted us to call it TGIF, which I thought was pretty clever. Thank God it's Friday. There were several recommendations that involved a coffee theme, which I thought you would appreciate.
Yes. Yeah. This is, I think I'm on my sixth cup now.
What? Let's take a moment here. Father Adam, what time did you get up this morning, and what all have you accomplished?
4 a.m. I was up at 4 a.m.
Okay.
I cooked myself breakfast, eggs and potatoes, and then I went and worked out. I did my CrossFit workout this morning at CrossFit Grandview, and then I came back and showered up, and I got ready because tomorrow's a really important day we can talk about later. But I needed to get the tips for my arrows onto the shaft of the arrow. So I was doing that this morning, and then I drove in.
So for all of you overachievers, Father Adam is your guy. And for the rest of you, here I am. I got you. Okay, so some of the coffee-themed titles, Good Morning Blend, Espresso Faith, Pour It Forth Friday. Those are pretty cool. Spiritual Rush Hour. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah.
The Morning Light, that was a fun one. There was one that I didn't quite understand. It was called, couple people suggested castanets.
I think cast the nets.
Cast the net.
Not the percussion instrument.
Okay, that makes way more sense. Okay. Well, we didn't choose it, so we went with the Friday morning show. But that's how you all weighed in with us this week, so we're grateful. For the coming week, we are requesting that you post your Bishop Brennan sightings. This man is everywhere. We have a relatively new bishop, Bishop Brennan. He's fabulous. And people see him literally everywhere. Football games, parish festivals, school masses, lunches, dinners. He's everywhere. So on our Facebook page throughout the week, if you see Bishop Brennan, we want you to post it. And at our next show, we will read all of the Bishop Brennan sightings. All right, let's move to our guest. Shall we move to our first guest?
Father Nick Ventura is with us.
Are you there, Father Nick?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Wait, are you in the headphones?
No, I am not.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, there you are.
Hello? Hi there, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Father Adam, when you said you're up at 4 in the morning, I was very thankful for my bed at that time. I'll be honest with you.
Where are you this morning, Father Ventura?
Where I am at, I am currently in my parish, just waiting for to join in on your phone call. So I am here waiting for you, and I tend to pace when I talk on the phone, so I'm walking around as I'm talking to you.
Great. Well, if you're winded, then we'll know why. Now
Don't think I'm so out of shape, Father.
Yeah. Now you're down in Wellston. Is that where you're living at?
Yes.
Okay.
I have the three parishes of Saints Peter and Paul in Wellston, Holy Trinity in Jackson, and Saint Sylvester in Zaleski. My rectory is in Wellston because I also have a school down there as well.
Ah.
And what's the do you know the distance between your three parishes? Like, how far do you have to travel to cover all three of your parishes? Have you mapped that out?
Yes, I have mapped it out. I cover 1,200 square miles of parish territory.
Whoa.
But in terms of driving distance, there's about 10 miles between Holy Trinity and Saints Peter and Paul, and then about 15 miles between Saints Peter and Paul and Saint Sylvester. They're kind of in a line, so from end to end, it's about 25 miles.
And your vehicle is reliable, we hope.
Yes. In fact, I got myself a new Jeep 2 years ago, so it can take all the hills and all the fun turns quite easily.
And you're pretty new in those parishes, right? That's a new assignment for you. Is that right?
Yes and no. So in the summer of 2017, Bishop Campbell assigned me as part of the Scioto-Jackson Consortium, which consists of five parishes, which included Holy Trinity in Jackson and four parishes in Portsmouth. In fact, I went to Portsmouth shortly after Father Adam went up to the cathedral. And then the year after that, Wellston was added to the consortium. And then this year, Wellston and Jackson were taken away from the Scioto-Jackson Consortium and made their own and joined by St. Sylvester. So now we're the Jackson-Vinton County's Catholic Consortium.
You know what? I was just in Vinton County this past weekend. I was just telling our listeners. Actually, I think I was in Jackson County. Do you know where the Union Ridge Wildlife Preserve is? Is that in Jackson County?
Yes, it was. Why didn't you text me?
Darn it. I shouldn't have said anything.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't intentional.
Now, I was down there, too. I was in Vinton County in Ray, Ohio.
Oh, Ray, Ohio, yeah.
My sister lives there now, so.
Oh, very nice. I have a friend out there who has a hunting cabin. When he comes down from Toledo,
here we go.
I go out and visit him.
Do you hunt?
I do not. I don't have the patience for it.
Father Adam, do you hunt?
Yes.
Are you going to tell us about it, or is that later?
Maybe later, you know.
Hey, Father Ventura, do you want to play a game?
I love games.
Okay,
yes.
It's highly competitive. Are you a competitive person?
I'll win.
There's our game show music.
Oh boy!
Why don't you tell them about the rules, Katie?
I'm going to.
Yes.
So,
I need to know the rules. I need to win.
Here's the thing. You are currently, whatever you do at the end of this game, you'll be in the lead because no one else has played it yet. So that's very exciting. But you are also setting the bar for our next contestant the next time we're on, which is who is Father Dan Dury.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got to set a really high bar. So he thinks I cheat at games.
He thinks everyone cheats at games. So here's how the game works. I will give you a category, and you have to name three things within that category.
Okay.
Now, Father Adam has a buzzer. Do you want to demonstrate your buzzer, Father Adam? There it is. So if he does not think your answer is correct, or if it doesn't fit in the category, he can buzz you. He has a lot of power in this game. Just fair warning.
I can sense that.
And we're going to do this for a minute, and as many categories as you can get correct in a minute, that's how many points you get. We were going to do a whole thing where we took away points and everything, but that's not very charitable, so we're not going to do that. You don't lose any points. You just don't get points if you don't get a category. So, for example, the category I may give you is breed of dog. And you would say?
Rottweiler, German Shepherd, Golden Lab.
And you didn't get buzzed, so you get a point.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Okay.
Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm starting the timer. Here we go. Type of flower?
Hibiscus. Daisy Rose.
Brand of electronics?
Toshiba, Polaroid, Nintendo.
State capitals?
Columbus, Frankfurt, New Albany. Not New Albany. Darn. Okay, darn.
Sports played without a ball?
Swimming, track and field, pole vaulting.
Movies with sequels?
Shrek. The Matrix. And The Avengers.
Weekly TV shows that regularly air today?
Oh my goodness.
Time.
There we go. I was trying to go... trying to think of things I couldn't think of.
Priests don't have time to watch TV.
Okay, well.
Oh. Except for me.
Or only like aired stuff?
No, Netflix would have counted, but it doesn't matter because time's up. We're moving on. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. You have 4 points, Father Nick.
Oh, no.
Well,
okay.
I don't know if that's good or not. We don't have anything to compare it to. So that might be amazing.
It might be, but. We'll see what happens next time I'm on. Are you going to continue? Do I get another chance of the game next time I'm on?
Next time you're on, we probably will start a new game.
Ah, okay.
I think you played very well.
Yes,
but again, we don't know.
So. Well, that was fun.
Well, our theme today as we continue this morning is evangelization. That's the whole point of our program. That's why we're here. Mm-hmm. We're part of the new evangelization, and we're encouraging our listeners to be as well. So we just want to chat with you for a couple more minutes about your efforts in evangelization in your parishes, and just kind of have you talk to us about what you're seeing, what you're doing, what you're encouraging your parishioners to do.
So I'm in a unique situation with 3 parishes in rural Appalachia, Ohio. Unlike, you know, a lot of the suburban parishes up in Columbus, the Catholic population is less than 2% for the 2 counties. So really, we are a minority down there. So a lot of the evangelization efforts are just being present in the community, both social concerns. We have a St. Francis Center in MacArthur, trying to just be present at the various community events. Another particular way is RCIA. We're really kind of ramping up efforts to, you know, invite people to check out the Catholic Church. You know, there's a lot of misconceptions, particularly among our Protestant brothers and sisters there about the Catholic Church, and just inviting them to see what it's all about. The other efforts that we're trying to do is, you know, small home group studies. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't quite have the resources, say, a larger parish might have, and we try to pull together to do what we can. But a lot of our faith formation efforts, like, say, if you want to do walking with purpose or some sort of effort like that would have to kind of be ran by a majority of volunteers. And in fact, that's kind of how we accomplish a lot of our things, at least in my three parishes.
Mm-hmm. One of the great strengths of those small rural parishes, country parishes, is the community spirit. And that's a great tool for evangelization and formation of disciples, especially with small group formation. And I think that I applaud you on that and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. And I mean, it's just this is still within 2 years of just kind of starting this whole effort. So right now I'm not seeing a ton of, changes, but someone came up to me and said, Father, you've done something different. We're seeing something different, and people are starting to step up, which is incredibly encouraging.
Praise God.
Awesome. Yeah.
And that's a process that'll take a while. So keep it up.
Oh, thank you.
And we're praying for
you. Lots of prayers.
We're praying for you.
It's not my work. It's his work.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, Father Ventura, thanks for being with us this morning.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me on. It was a lot of fun, and I'm glad to be the guinea pig as the guest priest.
Yeah.
So we'll have you on again shortly with a new game, and you can. We'll try not to have you always first. That's not really fair, is it?
Yeah. I think we can mix them up.
I'm okay to be the path forger.
Yeah. Okay. Well, until next time.
Have a great day.
Right. You too. God bless you.
Thanks. You too. All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam, we'll talk about what's going on today and set up our secret surprise guest, which you will be so excited. You'll be so excited to hear from this person. You won't regret it. So stay with us.
When Jesus was fasting in the desert, the devil tempted him to turn a stone to bread, to become king of the world, and to throw himself down from the temple and defy mortality. All that boiled down to a temptation to renounce his frail humanity. Jesus chose hunger, powerlessness, and mortality. We're tempted because of ego to renounce our humanity. The devil's first temptation to Adam and Eve was, "You will become like gods." Ego can drive us to work to make a monument of accomplishments to ourselves. It drives us to earn more and more money because we think it makes us powerful. Drives us to obsess over the impact we make or how well known we become because we think that'll immortalize us. Give it up. There's a difference between you and God. God never thinks he's you. Do a gut check of those ways ego is driving your dreams. Because if it is, you're missing all that matters most. And your wife is probably missing that happy, carefree guy she married years ago. Send us a message at connect@reallifecatholic.com. This is Chris Stefanik from reallifecatholic.com.
It started like it does for many people. Question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to. And I know where I'm going. And there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Good morning, everyone. This is Father Adam with Katie.
Here we are. I didn't know
for the morning show.
I didn't know we were coming back. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Yes,
she fell asleep. It's too early in the morning. Before we proceed, let's have a weather and traffic update.
Oh my gosh!
From our traffic helicopter, Cupertino. It looks like there was an accident on I-70 westbound at the Livingston exit. It looks like traffic flow is really pretty much at a stoppage there. So I don't know how you're going to avoid it, but looks like you want to avoid that. And it looks like there may even be another accident on I-70 westbound at Miller Avenue. So it is a mess. Now, in weather, we got a beautiful day for you today, 55 degrees right now. Looks like a high of 84 and just sunshine for you.
Can I add something to the traffic report?
Sure.
If you have a St. Gabriel Radio bumper magnet, please be generous. Please be gracious. Please be kind in traffic. Please represent us well.
That's why I don't have a bumper sticker on the back of my truck, is I tend to cut people off.
Oh, my goodness. That's terrible. You just need to be patient.
Know.
That's because you're trying to pack too much into one day.
Yeah,
you're trying to do
too
much. Today's the Feast of St. Vincent de Paul. Father Adam and I were comparing notes. We both saw St. Vincent de Paul.
Yes, when I was in Paris, it was my deacon year. We were over in France on a pilgrimage and for our priesthood retreat. Father Joe Yoakum from Portsmouth was on that trip with me. And we were in Paris for a day, and we went to the Rue de Bac, which is where the apparition of Our Lady with the miraculous medal
mm-hmm.
happened.
Yep.
And right around the block from there is, I went to a church, and there was Vincent de Paul's body.
But in the Rue de Bac was his heart.
Yeah, well, you know, I think he had a great love for the Daughters of Charity.
Yes. And that's just so Catholic, isn't it? That you can go to one place and see his heart and then go around the corner and see his
body. One interesting thing about Vincent de Paul, which I, as I was kind of reflecting on him the other day, reading a little biography of him. So after St. Vincent de Paul was ordained, he got on a ship to go from Marseille somewhere else, you know, maybe northern France or something. And they were captured by a pirate ship, and he was enslaved for 2 years.
See, that's a story you don't hear about St. Vincent de Paul.
Yeah. And, you know, we think of all the great works of charity which he did and which he's associated with. But, you know, I think one of the great works of charity that we need to get more involved with in the church, and I think across the board, is this sort of human trafficking. And I think maybe Vincent de Paul is a good patron for that, having been trafficked himself,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. Well, so we are praying today for our friends at St. Vincent de Paul in Mount Vernon and for all of the St. Vincent de Paul societies all around our diocese. This is your day. So thank you for the work you do. One of the things we want to do, as I said, is kind of help break open the catechism with Father Adam. So let's take a minute here, Father Adam. Which paragraph are we looking
at
today?
Paragraph 905. Lay people also fulfill their prophetic mission by evangelization. That is, the proclamation of Christ by word and the testimony of life. For lay people, this evangelization acquires a specific property and peculiar efficacy because it is accomplished in the ordinary circumstances of the world. So we're reminded today that all of us by our baptism are priest, prophet, and king. And part of that prophetic mission, part of that office of being a prophet, is evangelization, which the catechism in this paragraph defines for us as a proclamation of Christ, rendering an account of who Jesus is and what he has done for us, and then witnessing to that, giving a testimony of our life, which may be by words, but also by action. And then in particular for lay people, we are reminded that this witness takes place in the ordinary circumstances of the world. So in their work, in their family, in their neighborhood, in their community interactions, these kind of things.
See, and I think that's so important because I think a lot of Christians, when we hear that we're called to evangelization, that's overwhelming. That's scary. I don't know how to do that. What does that mean? I don't have a degree. But that is just a reminder. It's in our day-to-day interaction with people, and it's being prepared to do it and then being willing
to do it.
Well,
you know, the real theme, we might even say purpose of this show, is to really provide assistance for all of us in being disciples of the Lord and being formed as disciples and also being formed as witnesses so that we can find ways to evangelize, both in extraordinary ways and in ordinary ways.
I think for me, one of the ways that helps prepare me for day-to-day interactions with people is to start the morning in prayer, to start the morning in scripture, to start the morning in particular in the gospel, and let it resonate in my heart and hear what the Lord is saying to me. So that's something we want to do with our listeners is reflect on today's gospel, the gospel for Friday, September 27th, the Feast of St. Vincent de Paul. It's a short gospel today, so we're going to have Father Adam proclaim it. Typically, we'll maybe just sort of summarize it, but since it's short today, let's listen together as Father Adam proclaims our gospel.
And our gospel today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, 18 through 22. Once, when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Beautiful gospel passage there for us. I think there are probably three little points that I would make from it. One is, you know, Jesus is praying, which indicates that we need to be praying. If the Son of God has to pray, then we have to pray. Second is, who is Jesus and who do we say that Jesus is? So it is through prayer and an active life of the sacraments that we come to know who this Jesus is. But then how do we articulate? What is our account of who Jesus is? Well, the gospel gives us two, I think, crucial points that need to be both in our explanation of who Jesus is, but also in our experience and our encounter of Christ. First, that he is the Christ of God, that he is divine, that he is a divine person. And second, that he suffers, and he suffers greatly for us.
Can I add something
sure,
to that? Because
sure.
When I read this, I was reflecting on Peter, and I want to cut Peter some slack in this gospel, right? Because for Peter to profess the Christ of God, that's history changing, right? Earth shattering for a Jew in the first century to proclaim, "You are the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the guy we've been waiting for," right? So that's pretty intense. But for us, 2,000 years later, as Bishop Barron said in his reflection this morning, to proclaim that Christ is the Messiah is to be a Christian. To not proclaim it is to not be a Christian. It's as simple as that. So we can proclaim it with the benefit of 2,000 years of church teaching and history, right? We that's something that we've come to accept as just fact. But the difference for us, this was the gospel many months ago on Sunday, and my parish's Church of the Resurrection, and our pastor is the beautiful, warm, wonderful, joy-filled Father Dennis Chigozzi, who we adore. And I remember him posing a slightly different question for the modern Christian. The question that he thought Jesus might pose to us today is, "How do you say who I am?" It's no longer a matter of who do you say that I am, because we know who Jesus is. It's how do you say who I am? How does your life reflect that I am the Messiah? Everything has to change if you're professing that Christ is Lord. So that's our gospel for today. And now, the moment you have all been waiting for, our super secret. Wait, they don't know who you are yet. Don't give it away. Our super secret top guest.
The greatest guest possible.
Yeah, we're setting the bar way too high for future shows. Welcome to the Friday Morning Show, Bishop Robert J. Brennan.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, Adam. Congratulations
morning
on your inaugural program.
Thank you.
Thank you
for your blessing on this show. It's such a gift to be here and to be part of the evangelization efforts in our diocese. given the blessing by you. This is your thing, isn't it? Evangelization for our diocese.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And isn't it great to be talking about evangelization on one of our great tools for evangelization, St. Gabriel Radio?
It is. We are so thankful for St. Gabriel Radio and all of the good local programming and all of the work that they do. It's a blessing to be a part of it.
It is. It is. So I've been listening to you so far, and I'm really very impressed. And it's great you picked up on today's gospel and also on today's feast. I owe a great debt of gratitude to the Vincentians, who for me at St. John's University. And so St. Vincent de Paul has become a very important figure in my own life. But he, too, is a powerful witness to evangelization, because what he saw was a need amongst the clergy in particular, but he saw a need to know Jesus Christ better, to know the teaching of the church, really to understand it and be able to articulate it. But he married that in a way par excellence with service to the poor.
And that's something we hear a lot when it comes to evangelization actions, service, reaching out, noticing what needs to be done. And I think that's something that many people can be pretty comfortable with, right? To see a need, to meet the need, to use our gifts, to use our resources and meet that need. I think the harder part of evangelization is the gospel, sharing the gospel, sharing exactly. the details of the gospel.
They need to go together. You're exactly right. And that's the key thing. And so it's by their fruit you will know them. We're not out there to be social workers. Service and care for the poor is not about doing social work. Very important thing to do, by the way. Evangelization and the service that comes from the gospel is bringing the consolation, the help, the hope and the joy of Jesus Christ to other people. So a very simple way I would put it is this, that people know who you are and what you stand for, what you believe, and then let them see how that plays out in your life. Let them see the joy that it gives you, the tranquility that it gives you in times of trouble. Let people see the generosity that is born from your experience of knowing and loving Jesus Christ.
And in a lot of ways, Bishop, I think that has to be radical. I think a lot of times we hide behind that notion that if I'm just a good person, people will see that I love mm-hmm. Jesus. But that's not true. There are a lot of people who are good people. It has
that's
to be
right.
more a radical living out of that
a
love for our Lord.
Living. And again, and an identification with Jesus Christ. I love what you said before, quoting Father Dennis. How do we show who Jesus is? that's
right.
very good.
Right.
Father Adam, you're doing some great work for us at the cathedral and in the diocese in terms of evangelization.
Yes, yeah. Well, I work for a great boss, two great bosses, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ and his
That's
servant,
right.
Bishop Brennan. So,
No, I was going to say we all work for a great boss.
And Bishop Brennan, but you recently appointed Father Adam as the coordinator for evangelization
correct.
For our diocese. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that came to be or what your vision for that was?
Sure. Father Adam has been doing some great work in terms of study, and it's Sacred Heart. Am I correct,
yeah,
Father
yes,
Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Sacred
in
Heart.
Detroit.
In Detroit. And has really delved in to the work of evangelization in that postgraduate program. He worked with some very fine people, some of the real experts in the country. And so when he finished recently, soon after I came, he did his defense. After he did his defense, we wanted to put that into action. And so he and I have had the chance. We sometimes get to talk at the dinner table at the cathedral rectory and things like that. And I'm impressed by his ideas, by his energy, and that zeal for the gospel. And so we do have many wonderful things in this diocese. I tell people all the time, I hit the jackpot. I just walked in. I inherited all these things I would have ever dreamed of. So there were all these wonderful lay movements and powerful prayer movements. And also we have just a great field in terms of young people and so many campuses on within the diocese. So I was so glad to be able to take Father Adam's expertise and experience, put that together with his zeal, and to help really to coordinate, to be able to support and encourage some of those different movements.
And one of the priorities that you've set, Bishop, is, and as you mentioned, is this sort of outreach to university students and young adults. And, you know, I don't think people realize, but we have 25 higher educational facilities in the Diocese of Columbus.
Yeah. 25?
Yeah, 25. That includes public universities, branches, private universities, technical colleges, community colleges.
Wow. No, I don't think people do know that.
And I didn't know that when I came in, and that was the thing. I love OSU. I love Ohio Dominican. But to be honest with you, that's all I knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I came here, I was overwhelmed. That's right. So I did not have the exact number. So go on, Father
Adam.
And
we know that that's where the battle's happening. You know, people either opt for the faith or they walk away from the faith at that point. And that's where we really want to hit them and hit them hard. If we want people to hear the gospel and to embrace Christ and to love the church and to discover their vocation, we got to hit them then.
So are there particular ways in which you're planning to do that, or you've started to do that? Anything the both of you want to share with our listeners at this point, or things still in the works?
Well, right. I mean, I don't, Bishop, if...
No, I wanted you to jump in.
Okay, okay. One is to ensure that we have pastoral care for the Catholics who are there and that we're reaching out and supporting them. Because it is, as we know, I mean, living the faith, especially in that age group, you know, young adults, and in the college setting, it's very countercultural to live the faith, to go to Mass, to try to practice what you believe in. So we want to give them as much support through the parishes as possible, and through, so like the Newman Center at OSU too, give them as much support as we can. And then also we would like to see a missionary presence, which we are blessed with lots of lay apostolates and a lot of very dynamic parishes that are forming missionaries for this mission.
And when you say missionaries, you mean us, right? The people of the parishes, the people of the diocese. You're not talking about like overseas missionaries.
No, I mean, you know, the idea, the new evangelization is that it's happening here and now, you know?
Right.
There
right.
is the mission, what we call mission ad gentes, to the nations, you know, sending people off to Africa or Asia, but really, the mission is happening here too. So,
right, and two things. One, in terms of missionaries, yes, we do mean us, everyone here in the diocese, and we are missionaries. Again, simply by the witness of our lives and where we show the encounter with Jesus Christ. Just again, the joy. But we also do need well-formed people who can articulate that experience in a joyful, credible manner. And again, we have some of those movements already here in powerful ways. On the campus of OSU, St. Paul's outreach takes place. At Damascus, we have trained missionaries who are able to proclaim that gospel in a way that young people can hear it. So it's a both and. So that's one piece. But the other thing is, I want to make it clear, it's not as if we haven't been doing these things all along. We've been ministering in the local parishes, and the pastors and the people in the parish have been terrific in terms of reaching out to the different campuses. However, we're getting a good number of them. We're missing some others. We want to be able to coordinate those efforts. We want to be able to strategize so that, to use Father Adam's terms, we can hit and hit hard, you know, really deliberately, intentionally go out and seek people where they are, meet people exactly where they are, and walk with them sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
So, Bishop Brennan, before we leave you, Is there some advice? Is there a first step you might give someone who, you know, someone who's not ordained, not in a religious order, doesn't work for the church? What is the first step for us to become missionary disciples to participate in this movement?
Well, let me give you two. The first step is, again, to know Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes people look at the reading of scriptures as an overwhelming task. Be simple. Focus on the Gospels, the four accounts of the life of Jesus, and just meet Jesus Christ if you can every day, even if it's a small passage. As I joke with young people, I said, think of it as, you know, the daily posting on the social media or the Twitter from the Lord himself. Just read one pericope, one little short story from the Gospel. So step one really is to know Jesus Christ and to know him as he is, not as we want to make him to be. The Gospel passage today is one of the most misunderstood or misused sometimes. Who do you say that I am? It's not who do I want Jesus to be.
Right.
It's who Jesus really is and what he's saying. So the first step and the most important is to know Jesus Christ, to know him intimately, to let him speak to us. So that would be step one. And step two, I sound like a broken record, but just live that joyfully. Let people see a certain sense of joy and a certain sense of tranquility in your lives. And I know sometimes people are carrying tremendously, tremendously heavy burdens. But let the power of Jesus Christ exude from you, even in the midst of tough times, to be able to say, as Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he lives.
Excellent.
Well, thank you so much, Bishop Brennan. Thank you for that advice. It seems so simple, right? Know Jesus and live joyfully. And it's what we all want to do, too. So we will continue with
one last request, Bishop, if you could give your blessing to us and to all of our listeners.
Absolutely. Happily. May the Lord watch over, protect you, and keep you always in his love. And through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, Queen of Angels and Saints, and through the intercession of St. Vincent de Paul, St. Louise de Marillac, and all of the saints, may Almighty God bless you and strengthen you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Yeah. Thanks for being with
us this morning. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
You too. We are going to take a quick break here from the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam, and we will be right back. Stay tuned.
The Sarah Clubs of Columbus invite all St. Gabriel Catholic Radio listeners to pray for our priests and our bishop during the priest convocation next Monday, September 30th through Thursday, October 3rd. The Sarah Clubs have organized this prayer vigil so our priests and our bishop will be covered in prayer for the entire duration of the convocation. To sign up for an hour of prayer, go to stgabrielradio.com.
Did you know that your body has a theology? People tell me you've got your father's eyes and your mother's voice. This is fascinating when you think about it. We inherit every physical attribute from our parents. But what did we inherit from our first parents, Adam and Eve? In the beginning, Adam and Eve experienced both the physical and the spiritual dimension of their human nature. They were whole. Pope St. John Paul II called this original innocence. Yet Adam and Eve disobeyed God, rupturing their relationship with him and with one another, thus passing on to us the state of original sin. So, we lost the state of original innocence our first parents once experienced. But not all is lost. We've gained the theology of the body, which points us back to what God desired for us from the start.
I'm Clarissa Chichioko for Creative Catholic Works. For more on the theology of the body, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
Good morning, everyone. This is Father Adam with my co-host, Katie.
Welcome back to the Friday Morning Show. We are wrapping up the hour here. We just spoke with our bishop, Bishop Brennan,
What a great joy to hear him.
What a great joy. He is so wonderful. What a blessing. We just wanted to talk about what's coming up in the coming week a little bit. There's a lot going on in our diocese. For me personally, I finally get to see Downton Abbey movie next week, so I'm super excited about that. Haven't seen it yet. We're doing Dewey's and Downton with a bunch of the seminarians, so that'll be a blast.
Interesting, yeah.
Yes, that has nothing to do with the liturgical calendar or church events or anything. That's just something personal I'm excited about. So, but speaking of the liturgical calendar, next week is a blockbuster Saints week.
Yeah, we got Terezi, the little flowers.
Yes, Terezi.
It's on deck. And the great, our seraphic father, St. Francis of Assisi.
It's crazy. Not to mention, let's not sell short St. Jerome and the guardian angels. All of these next week. So we are in good company next week. Be sure to ask for their intercession as you go through your week.
And then this weekend we have, for our Sunday gospel, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, if you remember that story.
I do. That story always makes me kind of nervous, actually, I have to admit.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it should.
Oh, so. I guess it's supposed to. Right?
You know, we remember that there was the rich man who kind of neglected Lazarus. And at the end, Lazarus gets to heaven and the rich man does not. And the Lord, of course, says that beautiful, well, it's somewhat beautiful, but challenging line. You know, the rich man wants him to send Lazarus back to warn his brothers. But the Lord says, you know, they had this life, you know, to do that, and they won't believe even if someone were to return from the dead, which, of course, he is, you know, the risen one. Christ is the risen one, so.
We have all of the information. We have everything we need right there. Yeah. So something I want to invite our listeners to participate in. So next week, all of you priests are at a convocation. Yes?
Yes.
Is that next
week? We're
going
up to Mommy.
Yes. So we are encouraging Columbus Catholics to pray for you. We're trying to cover every single hour of your convocation in prayer. So from Monday evening to Thursday afternoon, we are asking Catholics to get in front of a tabernacle for an hour, or if you can't be in front of a tabernacle, just find an hour to pray. There is an official sign up, which is listed in the Catholic Times this week. It may be in your parish bulletin this weekend, and it will be on the St. Gabriel website, Facebook page too, Dave, or just the website, Facebook page and website. So you can sign up officially for an hour of prayer for our priests. There's also a directory of priests on the diocesan website if you would like to pray for our priests by name. When I make my holy hour for priests, I pull that directory up and I go through and I name all of the priests of our diocese as I pray the rosary. So we invite you to do that. And if the hour you want is already taken, then pray anyway. You don't have to officially sign up, but
prayers are always appreciated.
Yes, if we love our faith, if we care about our church, we have to pray for our priests.
And a couple other little happenings in the week ahead for you to weeks ahead for you to mark your calendar. First of all, there's the Friends of the Poor Walk and 5K Run Walk. That's on this Saturday.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at St. Francis de Sales High School.
Which I find confusing because it's a St. Vincent de Paul Walk at St. Francis de Sales High School.
Well,
so don't go to St. Vincent de Paul High School.
Yeah.
Hiking for Saint.
And then another thing, if I could plug the catechesis from the cathedral again, 6:45 on Sunday.
I'll be there.
We're covering the Trinity this week. And St. Gabriel's
So we're going to completely understand the Trinity by the end of your talk?
No, it is a mystery, and I am limited, you know, in my abilities. But St. Gabriel is airing those at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays.
Yes.
And then another wonderful opportunity for disciple formation, October the 19th at the cathedral at 6:45, Dr. Ralph Martin, the author of The Fulfillment of All Desires, will be speaking, in particular on how all of us have received this call to mission, a call to evangelize.
Perfect. That's
exactly.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody...
And that's the kickoff of this new series from the Cathedral Pulpit.
Wonderful.
So there'll be a speaker every month.
Lots going on. Don't forget, we are not here next Friday. It's the Sacred Heart Radio Hour with Father Stosh Daly and Chuck and Joanne Wilson. So that's the first Friday of every month. But we'll be back after
and
that.
And now let us end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, we give you thanks and we bless and dedicate this day to you through the intercession of Our Lady. Amen.
Amen.
And until next time, this is Father Adam and Katie, and we say to you, peace and all good.
Amen.
This is